B-Pod Studios.
To me, the whole thing with the finger under between the legs, antiquated, archaic.
Oh, it is.
I mean, the whole thing is freaking silly.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is a really big all-in move by the Boston Celtics. Now, it's not an all-in move from the sense that they gave up assets for him. They gave up their first-round pick in next year's draft, which, frankly, should be a pretty low first-round pick, given how good they're probably going to be. And they gave up all five of those players that they named, you named in there, Dan. None of those guys are among their top eight players in their playoff rotation. So this is the Boston Celtics taking on a ton of money this year and in the future, but doing so to add a playmaking guard, the exact kind of guy that Brad Stevens and Ime Udoka talked about at the end of the season, president of basketball operations, the coach of the Celtics, they needed to take this team to the next level. Because when you saw in the NBA Finals, when they went up against the Golden State Warriors, the Celtics lost that series on offense. Their defense held the Warriors down. Steph Curry was incredible in that series, deserving Finals MVP, was unbelievable. But they held the Warriors around 100 points a game in that series. Mm-hmm. Boston could not score in that series. And Brad Stevens said at his end of season press conference, this team needed to add playmaking and having more ball movement out there. Malcolm Brogdon averages 19-5. He's a 37% career three-point shooter. He is a huge pickup for this team as they try to finally get another championship.
Tim Ponteps of ESPN on the Celtics' big move of the day, which is acquiring Malcolm Brogdon from the Indiana Pacers. Never mind signing Danilo Gallinari as well. We'll be joined now by Christopher Gasper. Is he here, Jimmy?
Yes.
Is he here?
I'm here.
Is he here? Okay, Gasper is here.
Yeah,
Gasper's here. Gasper is brought to you by Premier Basement Waterproofing. Our guy, the guru, Mike Albert, wishes everyone a happy 4th of July weekend and reminds you that you can beat the heat today and all summer long by putting the industry-leading Santa Fe dehumidifier in your basement or crawl space. To inquire with Crystal, call 844-LIVE-DRY or visit premierbasement.net. And then what happens, Murray?
It's game over for fireworks.
Yeah.
Gasper, what do you make of, what do you want to start, the Brogdon trade? What do you make of it? It feels too good to be true.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I mean, I think you used to call John Elway the Don. This is a Don move by Brad Stevens. I think he's the Don. I mean, he got Malcolm Brogdon, a player that I really liked and was saying they should go after, and I thought they'd have to give up somebody from the core. I mean, he got him for Flotsam and Jetsam and a first-round pick. That's going to be a late first-round pick. So I think this is a great trade for the Celtics. I see nothing but upside for it. There's no real downside. And you play that Bontemps clip. I mean, it is really true. You know, a lot of people, I feel like, didn't necessarily listen to what Brad Stevens was saying in his post-mortem press conference. But he was pretty clear that he thought the team needed more playmaking and better playmaking. And that's where a guy like Brogdon comes in. I mean, he upgrades who your secondary, you know, ball handler is, or tertiary ball handler, depending on the situation. And that's what they needed. They did lose this series on offense, particularly in the fourth quarter, where they really struggled. I mean, they obviously turned the ball over a ton, but they shot 38% from the field. They didn't get great looks. They didn't really get into their offense. I think a guy like Brogdon can help them. And the biggest thing about a guy like Brogdon, too, is that when you get to the fourth quarter, that's a guy other than Tatum and Brown who can generate his own offense, generate his own shot on a consistent basis and get you a look. And defenses have to be aware of that, which should open stuff up for other players. That's kind of what you were missing. You know, there was a lot of daring the other guys out on the court, whether it was Derek White or Marcus Smart. We dare you to beat us, was sort of what the Warriors were saying in the fourth quarter. I think if you're saying we dare Malcolm Brogdon to beat us, if you're the Celtics, you have to like your odds a lot better than you liked them in the finals. And I also just say, like, big picture, again, you know, this happens, I think, a lot of times around here, particularly with the Celtics. They had a great season. No question about it. It was a breakthrough season. But a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, don't touch the team. They're good enough, this, that, and the other. Well, Brad Stevens doesn't feel that way because this is a major move. And I applaud him for this. He's not resting on his laurels saying we're two wins away from the finals. We're going to be in the next six finals because we're just that good with our core. He's saying, no, we have to be better to win. And he's right.
So, Chris, does this mean maybe they move on from Marcus Smart? Or at the very least, does it signify that Stevens and the Celtics want the ball out of Marcus Smart's hands a little bit more?
I think it signifies that they want other options, better options. I don't think there's really any way around that in terms of bringing this guy in. I think that if Smart were as good as some of the people around here say he is, then they're probably not making this deal. So this is a you can have your cake and eat it too. Look, You don't want to give Marcus Smart away. They didn't have to. I mean, this is great. You keep Marcus Smart, which is fantastic. You keep his defense. You keep his passing ability, his cutting ability, all the good things that he does. But now you have another guy who's a better option at times than the role that Smart was being asked to play on this team, particularly in the playoffs. Because, you know, regular season basketball and playoff basketball are different. And I know all the numbers in the regular season, and there's no question that without Smart and his growth and emergence, the team doesn't make the finals. They don't make the finals without him in the way that he played in the regular season and parts of the playoffs. But to win the whole thing, they needed to upgrade that spot. And Brad Stevens was telling you that, but people didn't want to listen because they were so entrenched on this one particular player.
How does Brogdon fit in the lineup, Chris? Does he start? Who does he play with? We just talked Smart, probably sees the ball less, but how does it all work out on the floor?
I don't know. I think that's for Ime Udoka to figure out. I think it's interesting. I do think there is a little bit of a pull-push long-term between Ime and Brad when it comes to Derek White and Smart. And I think there is some redundancy there. Like, I don't think you have both those guys on the floor at the end now with Brogdon. It seems like Ime really likes White. Like, he talks him up all the time. Even the other day, he was like, well, we have this guy. You know, we have guys we acquired at the deadline. We'll get a full training camp. And then you have Smart in the Mark Murphy story saying, well, I have a great relationship with Brad. So it seems like, you know, there's a little bit of, I don't want to say they're butting heads on that, but I think each guy sort of has a preference out of those players. The way I'd look at it is I would still expect that Smart would start because they will have to sort of, you know, acquiesce a little to his ego. And I think that Brogdon could come off the bench as like a super six man, and you can stagger it so that when Tatum and Brown aren't on the floor together, one of them is on the floor with Brogdon, and your offense is a lot better.
So you don't view this as someone's out and this is a precursor to something bigger?
No, not necessarily. I mean, not immediately. I do think it gives them options moving forward. I mean, maybe if you get to the trade deadline and you feel like you need something. One thing that would really help the Celtics here is Derek White kind of reestablishing his trade value. It was, I would say, an uneven indoctrination to the Celtics for him. You know, he struggled at times. I think at one point he missed like 17 straight threes during the regular season. He was obviously great in game one of the finals, but kind of disappeared. He had some really good games along the way. Game six in Milwaukee stands out. But then he had some other games where he was just a non-factor. I think if he could reestablish his trade value, now you have options. You know, maybe you say, okay, we are going to keep Marcus. And White's the guy that goes. You know, one of the reasons I was talking about Smart was just because his trade value is higher than White's. If it were me, at some point, I think you are going to have to redistribute your roster resources. You have so much tied up in point guard. And I'll even throw J.D. Davison in there, but it's Davison, it's Pritchard, it's Brogdon, it's Smart, it's White. All the last three guys I mentioned are all making more than, you know, $18 million a year next year. That's a lot tied up basically in one position. I know people argue the last three guys can basically play either guard spot, but if it's me, I may be looking to redistribute those roster resources and try and get another three and D wing here to back up Tatum and Brown.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, on the Kevin Durant news, do you give the Celtics a sniff? They're apparently partaking in the auction.
So let me hold off on that for 1 second. Let me get you, give me a minute on Gallinari, and then we'll get to Durant.
Yeah. I've always liked Gallinari. I know Ainge always liked Gallinari. I'm not surprised there are people in the organization who still like Gallinari. I like that signing, particularly at the mid-level. He's a deft player. He can obviously shoot, but he's a pretty good passer. He's never going to rebound as much as you want for his size. He's never going to be as physical as much as you want for his size. He's not a great defensive player, but he is a very good, adept, clever offensive player. And I know they've liked him for a long time. So I like him too as a player, but to me, he's not a wing. You know, he's sort of a tweener. He's in between. He's basically like a really mobile stretch four. I still think they could use a wing upgrade.
I was going to say, is he redundant to Grant Williams? Don't they do a lot of the same things? I mean, I'm not that they're the same player, but they're bigger guys that stand out on the line, right?
Yeah, but they're different players in that, you know, Grant adds an element of physicality, and he's a guy that can basically guard all five positions. And he can do some of the dirty work, which Gallinari is basically allergic to. So I think with those two guys together, they, you know, it's almost like a platoon situation in baseball. They complement each other really well, I think.
Okay. Coming up next, Gasper. Does Gasper want Durant over Jaylen Brown? Does he think the Celtics would go in on Durant for Jaylen Brown or other pieces? Gasper on Durant right after this.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Let me tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the Warriors winning a championship, it played a factor in this. I think it exasperated Kevin Durant's frustration. I think that's the narrative that surrounded him, that he dealt with in the aftermath of him leaving Golden State and then going on to win a title without him. Contrasted with what has gone on in Brooklyn in these last 3 years and how, James Harden comes, James Harden goes. I mean, remember, James Harden was traded. They traded for him because they thought he was he gave them an ability to be able to keep Kevin Durant long term because they didn't know that they could count on Kyrie Irving. And he came and left in the interim. And in the end, I think for Kevin Durant, essentially, I'm told, I think what he described to ownership yesterday when he asked for the trade was that he needed a change of scenery. And so he's headed for that. I think certainly Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving have both very likely, almost assuredly, played their last games in Brooklyn.
All right, Chris Gasper, we'll start with, would you want Kevin Durant on the Celtics?
I've gone back and forth on this, and here's where I've landed. No. And part of that clip that you played is the reason why. The sensitivity to Golden State winning. He's kind of rabbit-eared. He's a follower. I think he's not a passive leader, a passive-aggressive leader. Look, the guy's a great player. I mean, he's phenomenal. But I just think at age 34, which will be in September, with the mileage on him and now with what I would call sort of the personality baggage that he brings to the table, I wouldn't do it, especially if you have to give up a guy like Jaylen Brown, who to me is one of the few guys on your team that has both an alpha personality and the talent to back it up. And so I would sort of bet on that and greater development of that player. He'll probably never be as good as Durant. I mean, that's just being real about it. But from a chemistry standpoint, I just feel like if your team is led by Durant and Tatum, two guys who are a little bit of followers, a little bit passive, or in the case of Durant, passive aggressive, I just feel like there's an opportunity there that your team doesn't have the right mentality to be able to persevere through adversity and ultimately win a title. And how long's the window with Durant at age 30? How many years left does he have playing at this level? 3, 4?
So the question for me there would be, how much longer does Jaylen Brown have here? And sure. do you think he's a Celtics lifer?
I think it depends on the contract and the love he gets, shown from the organization and the fan base.
And do you think that's been enough? I mean, I know that I feel like you've been one of his ardent defenders and that people don't appreciate him enough.
You just sort of left that hanging out there. Yeah, finish the thought.
I mean, did you see the other day? He liked a tweet, I guess, from somebody who, it wasn't my tweet, even though I tweeted it, but I liked a tweet from somebody basically saying, Jaylen Brown doesn't get enough respect from.
Yes, right. I think it was at Bantonio Clown was the account.
Was that the account? So, I don't know if Jaylen Brown always feels the love here, I mean, if I were him, honestly, and I don't know this, I'm just saying if I were him, I'd look at the over-the-top, obsession and devotion to Smart and me scoring a 40-point game when the entire team didn't show up against Miami and all the questions are about my 7 turnovers. And then Tatum has a 30-point game with 7 turnovers and everybody's like, well, he's that's what happens when you have the lead guy. Like, I'd be looking around like, what games are you people watching?
So that's the question, Chris. Do you think he's a guy that wants his own team? I'm a number one guy. I'm a lead dog. You know, these guys, you know, that's my team. That, you know, this is Giannis's team. That's Durant's team. That's Tatum's team. Yeah. Is he a guy that, that's my team. Does he want to be that? And if so, does he want to be that in 2 years when his contract expires? And if so, if you had a chance to get Durant for 4 years, wouldn't you rather have Durant for four than Jaylen Brown for two? I mean, don't you have to sort of factor all that in?
Yes, you do have to factor that in. And you do have to factor in whether Jaylen Brown is a flight risk. And if you feel like he is, then sure, you know, you make the deal. But I'm not there yet. I don't know where the Celtics are at with it. I mean, it's interesting. You know, obviously he signed with Kanye West's agency. Those are his new agents. But I do know, look, the single most important thing that happened for the Celtics this year and a great season and making the finals was unbelievable, obviously. But I thought Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they clicked on the court and they pledged their loyalty to each other. Like they got together and said, we're going to do this thing. So I have no reason to believe that Jaylen Brown feels any differently than he did in January. I think he's in it with Tatum. And I thought it was interesting, you know, after the NBA finals and Tatum's struggle, you know, I was the one who asked the question, you know, what did you say to JT? And he said, I gave him a hug. You know, I think those guys are in it together and they're in it together sort of until they're not in it together for some reason, whatever that would be, you know, Jaylen Brown feeling disrespected by a contract offer or feeling disrespected by, you know, what's around him and feeling not appreciated. I don't know, but I don't think that I need to have my own team and get away from Jason Tatum. I don't think that's a factor at this point for him.
Okay. Well, that's an important thing to know, which I think you agree with. Do you think the Celtics are in? You know, if Mark Murphy reports that the Celtics are at the auction, there's an auction. 20 teams are at the auction and the Celtics are there. Are they serious bidders or is it more like a Danny Ainge thing? We'll give you, Derek White, Peyton Pritchard and a second round pick. Or do you think they're serious suitors?
Oh, that's a good question. The way you put that is a really good question.
Thank you.
I think they're in. You know, to a point, obviously, I do think that, and why not if you're Brad, you want to win the deal Ainge style, but I don't know this. I'm just looking at it. You know, would Brooklyn take Brown, Smart, and some of the remainder of your first round picks? Would that be enough to get it done? I could see the Celtics offering something like that. I think that Brad is more inclined to make a serious offer than Danny would have been.
Okay, well, that's that is for sure. You know, Danny would be, proposing my trade.
Oh yeah, Grant Williams, Peyton Pritchard, and Luke Kornet, and a one.
Right, exactly. what do you make of the whole situation? Do you think this makes Durant look bad?
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, and I've defended Durant in the past. I know Felgi, you and I went back and forth when he went to Golden State. You know, I didn't think it was that big a deal, but looking at it now. I mean, you know, you've been in some pretty good situations. Oklahoma City was a good situation. You left that for Golden State. I wasn't mad about that like other people were. But you win there. And then you do this thing. You allow yourself to be lured in by Kyrie, who's a snake oil salesman to a degree. And now you're upset with the situation in Brooklyn because Golden State won without you. And you're kind of getting blahed by Draymond Green. And now you want to go somewhere else. And it's not a coincidence that you're hearing that the place he wants to go is Phoenix, where there are two all NBA caliber players already there, and Chris Paul and Devin Booker. My thing with Kevin Durant is that he's been in some really good situations, and I feel like he's, you know, kind of always trying to stack the deck, and that he needs the deck stacked to make it to the finals. I mean, 2012 in OKC, he's playing with Harden and Westbrook. That's a team that had, you know, three future MVPs on it. Obviously, we all know what Golden State was. Brooklyn tried to stack the deck with Kyrie and Durant and Harden. And now his first choice is Phoenix with Booker and Chris Paul. I lose a little bit of faith, I guess I would say, for Durant. And I lose a little bit of faith in his ability and his belief that he can make the guys around him better.
Why do you think Phoenix is his first choice and not Boston?
I don't know. I mean, maybe because he feels like they're a team that with Paul, you know, is they have sort of that veteran presence that maybe he feels all NBA type presence that maybe the Celtics don't. I mean, it's an interesting question because obviously, you know, we have the Kevin Durant runner-up banner in TD Garden from his free agency. So why wouldn't he want to revisit? I don't know, but there's something about maybe it's just as simple as personal relationships with guys like Booker and Chris Paul. Maybe that's what moves the needle. Monty Williams being down there. I honestly don't know. I'm just speculating.
Okay, well, there we go. I've exhausted my questions for Gasper. How about you people? What do you got? Let's go to the calls as promised. Dean in Shrewsbury. Go ahead, Dean.
I love the Brogdon trade, but I completely disagree with Gasper. There definitely is downsides. We are now 3 years in a row without a pick, and those picks can lead to players like
Aaron Nesmith and Trent Edwards.
Chris
J.R. Giddens. Yeah. Juwan Johnson. Gabson.
Ubicelli, yes, you're right. Those first-round picks can lead to so much at the end of your bench.
R.J. Hunter.
Yeah, thank you. This is your bit. You know, put names to these terrible, like, oh God, the picks. Who cares about the picks in the high 20s?
Isn't this the biggest departure from Danny in that Brad's willing to deal these things?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Danny would hoard them, and I think he would keep them so long that their value would depreciate. And so you basically would get in these roster situations like they did with the Desmond Bane situation. I know Danny says, you know, they were never going to keep him, but they essentially had to give away the pick. You know, they didn't have room on the roster. Like, they had no room on the roster. They had so many first round picks. They had three that they didn't have room on the roster, you know, because you had to make sure Carson Edwards could stay. So when you look at stuff like that, that is the biggest departure where Brad, you know, 3 years in a row is going to say, I'm willing to mortgage the first round pick for something that helps us now, gambling that our team's going to be really good. These first round picks will be later in the first round, and that we can get more help elsewhere. And Dean is right. I mean, there is downside. I mean, if you keep doing this repeatedly, because the first round picks, that is a source of relatively inexpensive labor, right? And when you have all these players on your team, you have to give guys extensions like Grant Williams. They'll have to make a decision on, you know, this is how you supplement your roster with cheap guys that can help you. So you can't do this in perpetuity. But I do think that looking at the sum of it, what you gave up for Brogdon, I mean, I would make that trade 100 times out of 100. And I think everybody in the NBA would as well. So there is downside. There is some downside. But it's like 3% downside, not 20%.
The trade's a no-brainer. Tyler in the car. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I think the Utah teardown is real, and I'm curious if you think that Brad might try to give Marcus Smart back to Danny to kind of play with some young guys and get draft picks, and if we could get Donovan Mitchell first.
Okay, well, yeah, right. If Danny's so horned up for all these picks that he made here and hoarded all, send them all to him. and have him give you Donovan Mitchell. That feels Smart for Mitchell doesn't feel like that's quite enough on the Celtics end there, Chris.
No, I mean, do you think Danny would make that deal in terms of, like, do you think Danny would look at that and be like, I won the deal?
No.
I think if Danny makes any deal, not just with Brad, but I mean, with his son, Austin, with Mike Zarin, with those people, I think he's going to want to take him to the cleaners just because he's competitive. It's like he's back in the day. It's like he's playing cards with Mikhail, right? These are his friends. So he's going to want to, you know, beat him pretty badly. The only thing I could see that could benefit the Celtics with the Utah teardown would be, is suddenly a guy like Jordan Clarkson available now for the TPE, where Danny's just trying to dump the salary, you know, let's just dump the salary, or even Malik Beasley. I mean, I don't know, you know, Jay Stu or B-Rob might be able to tell me some rule that now prevents Beasley from being flipped again that I probably don't know, but Beasley or Clarkson, if those guys became available, both of them would fit in the TPE and both of them would give you a little bit more on the wing. That's where the Utah teardown maybe could help you.
One more on the Utah teardown. Cam in the car, go.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just a quick point. I really hope Kevin Durant goes to Phoenix so him and that other nutsack and Chris Paul can lose in the first round. Those two wet noodles. As far as the Celtics go, I really, really, really wanted P.J. Tucker for his mentality and his defense. Now that we just got a main offender and on offense, what's a target I think we could get to up this defense? Or do we not really need to touch the defense as much as the offense anymore?
Okay, your comment line said Gobert trade. But, Chris, do they need a big? Do they need another big guy?
Word from on the street from all these reporters, the Celtics beat guys and everything, is that they're going to get Thomas Bryant on like a minimum deal to come in. And, you know, he's a big, big body. He's had some flashes in the past. I think he'd be suitable. He'd be fine as a backup. But I think in your closing lineup, a lot of times you're probably going to see them go small at center. You'll probably see, like, my vision of the closing lineup is something like, you know, Al, Tatum, Brown, Brogdon, Smart, you know, something like that out there for the closing lineup. So I think it's probably Al maybe at the five for the closing lineup. And you don't need as many of the traditional bigs.
Okay, more with Gasper right after an update from McCarthy. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Felger and Mazz.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now that it's a possibility.
Yeah, of course.
You take him?
It's Kevin Durant. I mean, the only thing that I would have...
What'd you call him? Durantula?
Or Slim Reaper, or whatever you want to call it. Durantula, whatever Durantula. You want to call. The only thing that I would think about is the age, right? That's the only thing that comes into play. But in the NBA, I don't even look at anything past 3 years. So I'm watching Kevin Durant. I know how hard he's worked. He has gotten injured, but he seems to bounce back. I would feel like he has 3 years minimum of good high-level basketball. He would fit in perfectly with the team. So, yeah, I would definitely do that. Depends on how many picks or pick swaps Nets would want. And by the way, Jaylen Brown, I'm not trying to throw shade. I think you are an elite.
Right,
elite
and it's a compliment
player.
That he's in these conversations.
Yeah. But, like, if I'm the Nets, okay, we'll do this show. You won't tell me a better trade package than Jaylen Brown and picks. You won't find one. I guarantee it. You can look far and wide across the NBA. You will not find a more accomplished
right,
player with an upside.
Which is why the Boston Celtics won't do it, because they're
that's
not...
Fine.
And that's fine.
Just keep but don't
back
you're
to.
Bringing
okay.
me into that conversation. That's fine if they decide not
right.
to. But don't say, then the conversation is over.
Right.
You're acting like in the NBA... Oh, we're just solidified. Everyone's going to be here for 9 years.
For sure. And
you don't
that
know
is-
that.
Brian Scalabrine, he's still on it. So good for him. He's been consistent about that. And the whole piece about, you know, even if Jaylen Brown commits to you, what does that really mean? I mean, Bradley Beal's just committed to the Washington Wizards. Would it surprise anyone if he says, well, now that I got my $50 million a year, next year I'm going to demand a trade? Durant hasn't even begun his four-year extension, and he's demanding a trade. So that's the NBA. Like, that piece, you know, Scal's right. Scal's right about that. Gasper, do you agree with Scal, too, that there's no better offer out there? If the Celts are including Jaylen Brown, there's no better headliner in a package than what the Celtics can offer?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that, you know, generally speaking, based on, I mean, look, I don't think, like, you know, Minnesota is going to offer like Karl Anthony Towns or something like that, or Utah is going to be involved and offer Donovan Mitchell or whatever. You know, Phoenix isn't going to say, yeah, we'll give you Devin Booker. They want to pair him with Devin Booker. So I would agree with that. But I don't know if that's sort of the totality of what Brooklyn's looking for in terms of, yeah, I think Jaylen Brown would be the single best player that would be offered to them, but they might be looking for more. They might be looking for a bigger package than just sort of one guy. And how valuable are those first round picks and how long are they willing to wait for them? I mean, they know Durant. They know why the Celtics would be making the deal. So if all those first round picks are at the end of the first round, they're 30th because the Celtics are in the finals every year, and it's just Jaylen Brown and a bunch of picks, then is that really a great deal for Brooklyn?
All right, so handicap it. Where do you think he ends up? Or who are the leaders in your mind?
Ooh, good question. I mean, honestly, so I'm going to be honest with you. I would not be surprised if they get a deal that they like from a team like, say, New Orleans or Charlotte, and he says, well, I don't want to go. Like, I think you could leverage this against him to the point where you sort of convince him to stay, at least for another. Remember, at one point, Kobe Bryant wanted out, too. So my question, and I don't know the answer to this, obviously, Durant feels like he's done with Brooklyn. How done does Brooklyn feel like they are with Durant? Would they sort of leverage this trade possibility? Because they're under no compunction to send him where he wants to go. They could say, oh, you know, the best deal we got offered was from Chicago. And they put Lonzo Ball and Patrick Williams, you know, all these other a million picks and all this other stuff in there. we want that. We're going to trade you there. And he's like, well, I don't want to go there. And it's like, well, would you rather stay here or you want to go to Chicago? Those are your options.
Yeah, Chris, I can't help but wonder if there's like these dark horse teams. I mentioned maybe like Cleveland. You know, there are some, there is young talent spread out through the league. It's just teams no one really thinks about, right? Like the Cavs or Detroit. And that's the deal. And then, you know, does Kevin Durant want to be the guy? And that's the question I have about him. I just feel like with his personality, he doesn't want to be the alpha.
No, I agree. I mean, I think he wants to be treated like the alpha, but he doesn't want to have the responsibility of being the alpha. And I think that's sort of the issue. You know, and that's why a place like Golden State was great for him, because when it was on the court winning time, he could be the alpha. He won two finals MVPs. But outside of it, he could sort of share that load from a leadership standpoint, from an attention standpoint, from an accountability standpoint, from being blamed for wins and losses. You know, so that was good for him. I think he's always looking for partners to be able to share the load with. That's important to him. And I just can't see him, you know, acquiescing to going to Cleveland or Charlotte or Detroit or even Atlanta. Like, I don't know. I mean, I like what Atlanta has done now, bringing DeJounte Murray. But is that a place Kevin Durant would go? I think he has his preferred places. And I'm just wondering, will the Nets be one of the rare NBA teams to say, yeah, you requested a trade. We get it. But we're under no obligation to send you where you want to go. We have to do what's best for the organization. You know, here are the options. New Orleans, Charlotte, Chicago. Which one of these places do you want to go to? And him being like, ugh, none of them. Never mind. We'll revisit this at the trade deadline or next summer.
Okay, so here's an important question. I got a call on the board. We'll get to it right after this. And that is, are they doing any damage, are the Celtics, by even being involved in these talks and even being rumored to be in on Durant? Is that doing any damage internally with some of their own players? We'll get to that story right after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The agenda to minimize you historically has been really weird to watch.
Yeah, it's been. That's why I be feeling like, yo, y'all just be hating on the God. What have I done for you to want to discredit everything? I put in a lot of work for this game. I've been in it for 15, 16 years. You'll think I'm a 6-year veteran in the league the way people talk about me. Like, I ain't did shit before I went to Golden State. And I know a lot of y'all ain't watch OKC games unless they was prime time. But, like, go do your research, fam. I've been this. Like, I've been at this level. You know what I'm saying? I had shoes. I had MVPs before I met these guys. And we did something special together. But don't try to take away from what I've done, bro.
Oh, my God. There's so much wrong with that comment. I don't even know where to begin. I had shoes and MVPs before I met those guys. Exactly, dude. That's all you had was shoes and MVPs. I mean, great. I mean, nice. You had a shoe and you had an MVP and you're a great player. You didn't win squat. Like, oh, God. I mean, and then the whole God thing. Like, wow. I mean, there is so much wrong with that comment. I don't even know where to begin. He would not be a good fit here. It's true. I mean, unless, of course, Chris, as you've said a million times, they win at a high level, and then that's winning's the great deodorant, and then everything's, you know, everyone's kumbaya. But anything short of it, man, it you know, and look, I still think it's a possibility, but it could and would get ugly quick with Durant here in Boston, don't you think?
I think it would. But I will tell you this. I think you'd have a very ardent new listener. He'd be listening and watching you and Maz all the time because he obviously hears the stuff, right? It obviously penetrates into his world. By the way, how did you like that question? How about the question to him, you know, which was basically like, you know, what do they do to try and, like, I forget the term the guy used, but what do they do to try and, like, mitigate you? Like, Talk about a leading question.
Oh my God. Anyway,
yeah, tweet about him. That's what you do. Yeah.
I mean that's the type of question Jim Gray listens to and is like, I got to write this down.
That's a good one. I like that.
Let's get to this question. Jake in Nashville. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. So I'm on the same page with Felger about KD. I don't want the team doing it unless they know or they strongly feel that Jaylen Brown is not going to extend in 2 years. And for me, that's a strong possibility just because of how sensitive he is. I know that being sensitive kind of goes hand in hand with today's NBA stars, but he seems to be a little extra sensitive. So my question for you guys is, do you think that them even being at the table for the KD talks is going to make the situation even worse? And then also, do you think the Celtics even take into consideration like having to do damage control afterwards and player sensitivity? Do they take that into consideration when they go to the table for these talks?
Excellent question. Excellent question. Do they have to manage Jaylen Brown or anyone else even being in this situation, being linked to Kevin Durant?
Yeah, I mean, I think they do. I mean, that's sort of the reality of the NBA. I mean, if you make the deal, then it doesn't matter because the guy's not here. But if you don't, then yeah, you have to sort of go back and stroke the ego and explain it. But I also think Jaylen Brown's smart enough to use it as fuel in the right way and say like, hey, I'll show you that I can, you know, get to this level. And it's not like they're trying to trade him for a bag of basketballs. Yeah. I mean, it's Kevin Durant, you know, one of the greatest players of the generation. That doesn't mean he has to like it. And I don't think he does or will, but I think he could use it in the right way. Now, when it comes to negotiations, you know, down the line, if you're negotiating with him, and this is any player, not just Jaylen Brown, might that guy try and stick it to you a little bit and say, oh no, you're going to give me every last dollar because you were ready to let me go? Yeah, I mean, probably. That's probably the way that it goes on the other end. So it's a calculated risk from a number of facets for the Celtics.
Jose's in Southie. Go ahead, Jose.
Boston, you hear me? You hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
No, I'm saying Boston's not good enough. They see a lot of choking on Jason Tatum and on Jaylen Brown. It's about what Draymond Green said about Jaylen Brown after game two. That's it.
Okay, so he's saying that Durant doesn't want to come here because the Celtics are a bunch of soft losers. Basically, I'm translating. I think that's what he meant. Jake, do you think Durant would rather play with Booker or Jimmy Butler because he thinks they're more likely to win than the guys here?
Yeah, and they might be obviously sort of further along in their maturation process. I mean, we talk so much about it, too. You wonder, Durant, for everything that he said about his career, does he look at it and say, okay, I have like four really good years left? Or does he think he can be Tom Brady and do this for another 10 years? He might look at it and say, I have 4 years of playing at this level for a really long time, and I want to maximize that, and I don't want to have to deal with anybody's learning curves. But the interesting thing to me, if you're Durant, right, is you played with Jason Tatum in the Olympics last summer, and Jason Tatum was the second best player in the team. He was your sidekick. So you sort of have an idea of what that looks like. So you would think there would be maybe some more certainty there or more interest. So I am a little puzzled as to why, based on his history, both with the Celtics, again, the whole Kelly Olynyk thing, the banner we got for the Kevin Durant free agency runner-up, that whole thing, why he's not more interested, at least publicly or through back channels or whatever, why we're not hearing more about the Celtics, because you would think he knows more about the Celtics than some of these other organizations he's interested in joining.
Agreed. That's been my point all day. Never mind his relationship with Udoka. Never mind the fact that Tatum's better than Booker and Tatum and Brown are better than Butler and whatever they have there. Never mind that this is the best team that he could choose from. Never mind Tatum is ostensibly the best player. I mean, none of these other guys are first team all NBA. So why isn't the Celtics his first choice? Does that say something about him or say something about us?
I don't know. The other thing I'll just say quickly, Felgi, you'd say like, oh, you know, was it the way that Celtics fans treated Kyrie? But, you know, Durant basically came out and said, you know, no problem. Like, that's fans being fans. So he was sort of defending the Celtics fans, if I'm remembering those comments accurately. I mean, at least that's the way they were taken here. He was sort of like, hey, you know, that's fans being fans. So normally I would say, oh, you know, it's because never underestimate the ability of Kyrie to screw over the Celtics. I mean, Kyrie is like in his ear about, hey, you know, this is what it's like with the media there. This is what it's like whatever. Yeah, the fans chant, but I'm telling you, man, you don't want to go there. It's a miserable experience. This would be like a peak Kyrie thing. Like, KD, you don't want to go there, man. The vibes just aren't right. Bad vibes in Boston.
Absolutely. And Durant would still listen to him, probably.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
TC in the car. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. So I think you hit on this a minute ago. You know, which of these is not like the others? Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, Chris Paul, or Marcus Smart? I think Durant wants one of these whiz kid, you know, floor general point guards to do all the heavy lifting. And, Jim, you were talking about it a minute ago, to take some of that pressure off, just to let KD be the wing, flashy showboat guy and let someone else do all the hard work. Thanks.
So, Marcus, so you're saying Smart's the one that's keeping him out? That unless I read that the opposite way, Smart's the one that the reason he doesn't want to come is because of Marcus Smart? I don't know about that. Before you go, Chris, you got a couple minutes left here.
Yeah.
Back to the lead story in the Brogdon trade.
Yeah.
Do you have any lingering worry that it just feels too good to be true? I mean, we went over some of the stats. You know, Brogdon had a year in Milwaukee where he was one of those 50-40-90 guys, right? And that's like a list of four guys, Steph Curry and him and Kyrie.
Larry Bird.
Like it's just an insanely small list. He was one of those. Then there was another one where a guy who averages 20 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. There's only five guards who've done that in the last 2 years. And it's him, Steph Curry, Doncic, Kyrie, I think, and maybe Harden. I can't remember. Select list kind of stuff. You know, a guy who averages 20 points a game. And you get him for Tice, Nesmith, and a late first round pick. Yeah. Do you ever worry? Do you wonder this?
The parquet poo poo platter?
Too good to be true. Too good to be true.
Yeah, because he's injured a ton. You just have to make sure he's healthy for the playoffs. You know, I have no delusions about him playing 82 games. That's not going to happen. History says he's not going to be able to last that long. And maybe that's one reason why the Celtics feel like it's okay to have Brogdon and Smart and White and Pritchard, because they feel like, hey, Brogdon's going to miss 20 games or whatever it is. He just needs to be healthy for the playoffs. But that's also the element of, you know, I love this player. I've loved him since he was the rookie of the year coming out of Virginia. But that's also the element of numbers lie. And we can apply that both sides, right? We can apply that to a Malcolm Brogdon, or we can apply that to a Marcus Smart. You know, sometimes you have to use your eyes. As great as those numbers are, Brogdon's not in the class of any of those players you mentioned. He's not. And we know that. That's just a fact. You just watch the games. As good as those numbers are, he's not in the class of those guys that you're mentioning. So that's one reason that he's available for this. I think the other is the injury history. I think the real reason is the money he's owed by Indiana. They feel like he doesn't move the needle enough based on what he's paid and what his role would be on that team. They're sort of starting over around Tyrese Halliburton. And so he comes to your team and he's not one of the two best players on the team. You're really asking him to be the third guy or the fourth guy, depending on how you look at Robert Williams. And that's a better role for him, and it's a better fit for you. So, yeah, there's obviously risk based on the injury thing. But if you're the Celtics, like I said, this is a no-brainer deal. You do this 100 times out of 100. It addresses what the president of basketball operations said was a real need for them coming out of the finals, which was better playmaking.
And the fact that they're willing to pay someone $23 million to potentially come off the bench, good for the Celtics, and to go deep into the tax. It's going to cost them more when you consider the tax implications. So, you know, good for the Celtics, putting their money where their mouth is with a championship contender, sort of like, I guess, they said they would. All right, Chris, we have a Gasper and Murray tomorrow?
Shockingly enough, we do. Yeah, even though it's the 4th of July weekend, we'll both be here at 11.
Ish. Oh, my God. Well, ish. Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Approximate starting time. All right, Chris, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
See you guys later.
Later, Chris.
All right, kid, we got a 90-second update from Matt McCarthy, and we reset our big story of the day. Celtics pull off a big trade. Your thoughts on it? Still in the Kevin Durant auction, according to Mark Murphy of the Boston Herald. That as well, and your calls, so go nowhere. There are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.